great, great, great old friend of mine who's a great friend of college basketball and a guy that we all root for in these parts. People have been asking me all week, when are you going to have Coach Martelli on? When are you going to have Coach Martelli on? The first thing you understand about Coach Martelli is he didn't want anybody to call him Coach. That's the first thing. The second thing you got to understand is we're live at Central Flats and Taps today. And I want to thank our friends at HipHopForHunger.com for having us out here today. Is that this is a guy who is worthy of rooting for because he's one of the good guys. And right now, a story that is viral. I'd like to tell you that it's Coach Martelli's coaching ability that's got this thing viral. But, Coach, you've been upstaged by your four-year-old grandson, only in this world.
It's an amazing, amazing phenomenon. I had heard rumblings about it, Tony, to be honest with you, but they sit a little bit higher at Hagen Arena, so I never saw it. And then even during the Atlantic 10 tournament, when it just went crazy, I didn't see it. So we went back to the hotel and somebody showed me the YouTube and I thought, this has a chance to get bigger than big. And for instance, his morning looked like this. He did a radio interview. He did a radio interview in Philadelphia, was on CBS, the morning show. So the whole country saw him. His mother then strapped him into his car seat and drove him to preschool where he walked in with the other 4-year-olds in his class. And I'm sure the four-year-old kids in his class could care less. The four-year-old parents probably think it's like Elvis has been reinvented or something. Then he'll get back. He'll go through the Philadelphia airport, and we're trying to decide whether or not he's going to need security. This will be his first plane ride. He'll be in Buffalo, and I'm sure the action on CBS is going to be from his point of view and not from the player's point of view.
What I love about it, knowing your backstory and a lot of the stuff that you've been through in the last year and a half or so, it's just so wonderful. What a breath of fresh air this is. And it's not a contrived thing, right? I mean, this kid...
No, it's not planned. He doesn't practice. He's not told to do this, do that. There's no stage mothering in any of this. Son, daughter-in-law, and their two children live with me outside of Philadelphia. Coaches are hopeful, but even last week when we were preparing to go to Brooklyn for the Atlantic 10 tournament, he knew enough to say, we're going to play 3 games, so I have to take 3 suits. Like, a coach thinks like that, but a 4-year-old, how would he even know that? It's beyond anything that I could imagine. Now, he lives with me. My son, who's the assistant coach at the University of Delaware, and they're preparing to play Michigan State and Spokane. My son, daughter-in-law, and their two children live with me outside of Philadelphia, so I see him every day. And but I had no idea that it was this entertaining or this engulfing. He's totally in, and there are certainly times when he believes, and probably there's some of our fans that believe he's coaching the team.
As Monte Ross said, who I had on a couple days ago, who's done a really great job at Delaware, I'm sure you're very proud of him and your boys there with him, as you were talking about. Monte told me, he said, you know, you coached 10 years with Coach Martelli. He said, and that's like 170 dog years.
We usually have stuff going on, Tony. You know that. We engage everybody. We welcome everybody. We're really appreciative of the spotlight shining, not just on my family, but more importantly for me, the wonderful players that I have this year.
How fun has this group been for you, and how gratifying to get back?
Well, the gratification is for them. It's for the smiles. It's for the tears. It's for the hugs. It's for the 18 to 22-year-olds who are on a court in Brooklyn telling me that they love me and thanking me for bringing them to St. Joseph's. That's the gratification. The joy in being in this tournament is, you know, out of 10. But I've told our players that getting in the tournament's a 10. Win a game in the tournament and your joy goes to about a 50. So we're really going to go to work and hopefully play really good basketball on Thursday night.
What do you think of the matchup? They've got a guard who can control games. You've got a couple of X factors who have emerged as of late for you. And this freshman, Bembry, tell me about him for a second. This is a kid out of the Charlotte area. Who did you beat for him?
Well, he left Charlotte. His mother deserves tremendous credit. He was in a rural school, more rural than urban school, and he was kind of hanging with a group that it was going to be okay to graduate from high school. And there's nothing wrong with that. She thought he had Division I talent. She took him to North Jersey and commuted. She worked for US Air. She commuted back to Charlotte to work. He went to the St. Patrick's legendary school in Jersey. I went to see him and a teammate, and people said he's a forward. He's an undersized forward. And I kept looking and kept saying, this kid's a basketball player. At the end of the day, and you'll appreciate this, at the end of the day, the two schools standing for him were Temple and St. Joseph's.
Mm.
Temple got one of his AAU teammates from St. Anthony's, and we were able to get DeAndre, and his mother has been in touch with me every day and asking if this is a dream and is she allowed to stop crying. She's so happy. She's wonderful. She's raised him. He's an old spirit. He has an old style game.
Yep.
He bases his game defensively first. Obviously, he's an explosive athlete, as many of them are today.
You know who he reminds me of a little bit, and it's just looks. And, of course, I'm in this age where I remember the ABA, and he reminds me of one of those old ABA, those tough, gritty ABA guys. But particularly with that afro, he cuts a little bit of an old-school Dr. J. And I'll tell you, the one take he had where he took it from the right wing and just flushed it over somebody on Sunday, I said, my gosh, this guy, when he gets some confidence, is going to be a scary, scary player for you.
That play on Sunday changed the game. We had lost our footing. I think it was the first time we had been behind. We were kind of playing a little bit on fumes. And all of a sudden, he rose up. And here's what I like, Tony, and I know you like it too. He dunked the ball, and he ran down the floor like he was supposed to dunk the ball.
Right.
And there wasn't all this self-congratulations and, you know, the look at me. I really hope that we really drive at it during this tournament, that it's about the game and it's about your team. I'd like to see us eliminate all the gesturing after three-pointers that are made. I don't know that we'll get there, but it would be great if we could do that.
Coach Paul Martelli is our guest. Central Flats and Taps, where we be. I want to remind you, go to hiphopforhunger.com. Get involved with Scarecrow Foundation and what they're doing. You've been successful in past runs in this tournament. And generally speaking, your teams have played pretty well. What is it about this time of the year that some folks can play, some teams can play, some players can play, and yet some freeze? There's a different element when you're out there in this sort of setting, isn't there?
Well, there's a different element, and you start with this idea. None of us in this tournament have played a neutral site game since maybe pre-Thanksgiving, if you were in one of those events. So the atmosphere is different. The noise is different. It's a little bit more stellar atmosphere. You know, we're playing the first game in Buffalo tomorrow night. Now, there's a Philadelphia team in the second game. I don't know how Wisconsin-Milwaukee would travel, but could be a little bit light. And you're basically used to either being a road team when you know all the noise is against you, or a home team and all the noise is for you. So now it's a little bit quieter. The games take a little bit longer because the timeouts are longer, so we can, you know, take care of business for TV. And I also think that sometimes teams right now and players right now are paying penalties for what they did in December and January and February. So this is a long year now. We started practice September 27th. Now we're into mid-March, moving towards late March. If you haven't rested properly, if the players haven't eaten properly, if they haven't taken care of their business academically, and you have all these other things mixing up, I think it is a tense moment, because just like when you played as a kid and you said, you know what, if you lose this game, you have to sit on the side. I don't want to sit. Well, here it's even more striking. You lose a game and they say to you, meet us tomorrow, we'll collect your uniforms.
You know, 15 years ago, Coach, you don't want to get too far off on this, but you touch on a point. I remember talking to you 15 or so years ago, and you said to me, hey, look, this is way too early to be playing basketball. And at that time, right, it was a game, and you guys were coming here, or maybe it was an early December game, and you said, look, this is silly how early we start the basketball season. You know, as time has gone on, I used to think you were crazy when you said that. I think you're right now. And in fact, some teams look tired at this time of the year.
Absolutely.
While others look like they're getting their footing. You guys look like you're hitting your stride right now after the way you played in that tournament. Do you feel that way?
Well, I feel we can play better. but I am really appreciative of my group in the freshness with which they bring it. And, you know, you have to listen, you have to listen to the people that are around you. For instance, we went on Sunday. I schedule weight training and weight shooting for Monday. And all of a sudden I'm eyeballing our guys as they're coming in. I'm saying, no, we're not doing this. We'll do the logistics for the tournament. We'll sign off on all the amateurism forms and we'll watch the gambling video and we'll talk about drug testing and things like that. And as soon as that ends, get out of here and I'll see everybody on Tuesday. And I'm glad I did it. You brought up Napier and how fast he is, and they have a freshman, a 7-foot freshman who's going to end up being a 15, 18 year guy in the NBA named Brimma. He blocks out the sun on most occasions, although I'm not sure Buffalo gets the sun until June 1. It's a fascinating opportunity for us, and I'm delighted that it's UConn, because as soon as the name popped up, what came to our players' memories were 3 national championships and Kemba Walker and Ray Allen and things like that. So that's a good attention getter for us.
And that's that is the truth, isn't it? Plus, you guys come in with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. Out of 10, are you guys underseeded, Coach? Are you where you thought you probably should and could be or would be?
You know, with all that was going on, Tony, over the weekend, I never really thought about it. I never did any kind of calculations. And even with Joe Lenardi right across campus, I never said to him, what do you think is going on? What do you think could possibly happen here? I actually take the 10 as a badge of honor, because I now wonder if this means that we were in as of Friday. When we were all on pins and needles and bubble this and bubble that, maybe we were in and it was just a matter of being slotted. You know, because we did win the league and we're the fifth seeded team. So I don't know. I haven't spent a sentence with my team about it, and I won't. I think it's a great game, and if it was flip flop and we were 7, it would still be Connecticut. You know, if they were a 10, and be a great game, great opportunity.
And I'll tell you what, that bracket's interesting, because there are many people who think Villanova has a chance to get beat. I mean, the thing about this deal is you gotta win, you gotta beat who's in front of you. Do you think that the committee, when they sit down, they say, hey, we're gonna put these two Philly teams together? Or do you think that's happenstance? Because Monte told me he thinks those guys are matchmakers behind closed doors, despite what people say. He said this is a TV show, and despite what people say, and I'll give you, for instance, I don't think it's happenstance, because you were in their position before 10 years ago as a one seed. They're making those folks at Wichita State, they're punishing them with who they've put in their region. What do you think about all that?
Well, there's a part of me, first of all, I'll say this. That committee has so much information, and I think they're so efficient and have so many difficult decisions, that I wish that they were maybe a governmental agency, because we could sure use some help here running this country. That's number one. Number two, Wichita State could play Kansas State in the second round. Ohio State's playing Dayton. Rick Pitino's playing a former assistant. You have the Villanova St. Joe thing. And I do believe that the decisions are made numerically, but I have to believe that somewhere there's an 11th guy on that committee. He may not vote, but he might sit there and say, hey, you know what would be really great theater? You know what would really be getting people to talk? Because, Tony, everybody that you and I know, talked for a month before Sunday about the bubble, and you were following games that made no sense for you to follow. Like, you wondered what happened in the Boise State UNLV game or the Oregon UCLA game. And it was February when we started this. Since 6 o'clock on Sunday, there's been only discussion in sport about one thing, about seedings and snubs, and then the ball goes in the air Thursday. I think it's ingenious what they do. I really do. I think that they make this truly, truly captivating the whole country. for Mark.
Well, I know this. You got to get rolling here. But tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, up in Buffalo, you draw UConn. And by the way, how about your league and the respect it's garnered as several members exited? And I commend the people at the top of your league. That's some great administration, because they went and got some schools that are basketball only, and that literally is quite a powerful league right now, isn't it?
Yes, we will forever carry the championship with us, because when you're a champion in this league, then you're a very, very special team, and that's the way it should be. And I'm honored to be a part of it, and you could not have said it better. It starts at the very top of this league, and our commissioner, Bernadette McClain, can't be better. She can't be top in this country.
I mean, you think about the additions in the last 5 years. If I'd have told you that 5 years ago, hey, here's who's coming in, and I look for the league to have a really good showing in the tourney, don't you?
I pray that that happens. I'm pulling for all of my brethren, and I hope that I'm hoping when the smoke clears and we go from 64 to 32 to 16, that a couple of them will have Atlantic 10 labeled on them.
Coach Martelli, it's always a pleasure. You know, we're going to focus on the positive today. We're not going to talk about the Phillies and their chances.
I was just going to bring that up. I said, you know, no. I might need you to get up here and throw every fifth day. We're looking light right now.
How about Ruben Amaro pretending like he's got a contending baseball team? It is great. I love. It's just great comedy, isn't it?
I hope the pros are pros this year, and we can smack the ball around a little bit, get Cole Hamels back out there, and you know what? It's a beautiful time because everybody's 0-0. I have a suggestion for you, because I know lifelong Philadelphian. I want you to take a look at this. It may even be coming out today. There's a book on the 64 Phillies coming out called Almost Perfect, with Jim Bunning on the mound on that Sunday and throwing his perfect game. And it covers the whole year. And a childhood friend of mine put 3 years of his life into this book. It's called Almost Perfect, and it'll be out. Today's the day.
I tell you what, on my website, heard by and viewed by several thousand folks, I interview book authors all the time. Almost Perfect. What is that gentleman's name? I'm going to run him down.
His name is Steve Stefano, S-T-E.
I'm going to run him down.
His name is Steve Stefano, S-T-E-F-A-N-O. He's in North Carolina, and he wrote the book with his cousin. 3 years, passionate. They got everybody. They got Stan Hoffman. They got Larry Shank. They talked to some of the players in that. It's a fantastic book.
One of the great collapses, and the city still wears it. Even despite all the successes, the city still. And here's
the heart of even the younger ones, and they weren't around then.
That's exactly right. It's like a collective bruising of the ego. It's sort of like what happened here yesterday when Bruce Pearl went to Auburn. And days like that and happenings like that, because people here are, let me tell you something. You talk about a crushed fan base. This place is really strange right now, but I don't want to get off on that. Hey, Coach, listen, I really appreciate your time, Phil. I'm really proud of you. Go and win. Go and win tomorrow.
And, Tony, let me just say this to you. I got rocky a little bit, and you didn't change. You were my friend 10 years ago, and you're my friend today, so thank you.
Oh, hey, man. Every sentiment of encouragement I send to you, I mean, because I'm going to tell you this. You're great for what I'm doing. You're great for those kids. You're great for the sport. You're great for sports. You get it. And like you told the people at CBS News in that package it ran this morning, what's wrong with smiling a little bit? Let's smile a little bit, right?
That's it.
This is sports, man. We're here to have a good time. Coach,
Coach,
thanks, man. God bless.
I'll try to coach a little bit in between my grandson's interviews.
Phil Martelli, thank you.
All right.